Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show.
Bring it in on three. One, two, three.
It's Friday night. Time for an in-depth and unique spotlight on a member of your green and gold.
Ready?
Now, live from the Leaps and Bounds Cafe at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening and welcome. We are broadcasting live here at Leaps and Bounds Cafe. We're at Lodge Kohler, the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show. I am Bill Michaels. We're across the street from historic Lambeau Field, and we're going to be joined by our guest coming up here momentarily, which is Aaron Jones, running back of the Green Bay Packers, our good friend from the food and beverage department here, Desi, throwing on a headset, as we do with the Fireside Chat each and every week. They bring out and introduce a new wine to us. So what do you got today, Desi?
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today I have Skyfall Merlot from Washington State. It's a beautiful wine. It has plum, vanilla, and leather aromas. It's very juicy flavors of cherry candy, cocoa powder. It is absolutely very holiday-ish wine. Skyfall Vineyard is named for the massive car-sized boulders that are scattered all over the vineyard. I mean, they look like a car. They're that huge. And they...
kind of like the Flintstones, then, is what you're
pretty
saying.
Pretty much. Basically, they came from the last ice age, and after the floods, they just landed at the Skyfall Merlot.
There you go.
And they look like they fell from the sky. So that's...
That's it?
Yes.
Okay. Desi, appreciate it. Thank you very much. And for those of you that have a glass of wine, cheers. And hopefully we're talking about a Packer victory this coming weekend. That is Desi, who works here at Lodge Kohler. You can get some of these wines upstairs at Tavern in the Sky as well. And we're going to throw a headset on our guest here this evening, who has, by the way, 135 carries, 589 yards, a key cog in the Packers offense. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Jones. What's up, Rockstar?
What's up? How you doing?
So the last time you and I talked, you were getting a season underway. You were feeling good about where you guys were at. You felt good about the locker room. And now you got to feel really good about where you're at and feel even better about the locker room. I mean, how has this season evolved for you?
It's just gotten better each game. I mean, we're 8-2. We've grown each game, and we're heading the right direction. We're going where we want to go, and just to see the growth of the team has been a lot of fun.
You talked about the offense and the Matt LaFleur's playbook, and when you and I had discussed last time, you said we have not even begun to scratch the surface. Are you still there? Have you introduced a lot more, or are you still sitting there with a ton of pages? Because you guys run a general basis of formations, but there's so much that comes off of that.
I feel like we're at a good point. We can still do a lot better, sort out some details, but we're heading the right direction. We're right where we want to be, and we have came a long way.
What'd you do during the bye week, by the way?
I just went home, went back down to El Paso, caught a UTEP basketball game, and just hung out with family.
So are you now recognized down there a lot more when you're walking around a UTEP basketball game?
Yes, sir, but I mean, it was already like that when I go home. I went to middle school, high school, and college there, right. So... the people there always show me a lot of love.
So you get back into town, you guys get back to work. The tough news of the day coming out is that Cole Madison out for the season with a torn ACL. That's really been, when we looked at the injury report, it's really been kind of a knock on wood godsend. You guys haven't been banged up this year when you're talking about losing guys for the season. Everybody's pretty much healthy on this team right now, right?
Yes, sir. Everybody's been healthy, and that's just a testament to our training staff and weight room staff and the guys. We have professionals over there who take care of their bodies and make sure they're ready to go every day.
What's it like right now in that locker room? Not only does winning cure a lot of things, but veteran leadership cures a lot of things. Between Zadarius and Preston, obviously, we had a talk with Tremont Williams today. I had him on the program. He was talking about a lot of the leaders in there, the way the defense kind of pumps up the offense and vice versa. Give us an insight as to what it's like in that locker room right now.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, if you used to walk in and didn't know anybody's names or what side of the ball we played on, you'd think we all played on the same side of the ball. That's the kind of chemistry we have. We're all always together. at the dinner table, whether it be breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You have offensive guys eating with defensive guys or even specialists, and it's not just offense this side, defense this side. Right. So,
which is the way it's been in the past.
Yes, pretty much a lot of places you go, that's how it is. Mm-hmm. Offense one side, defense one side. You're always kind of split. You don't really know the defensive coaches. Offensive coaches don't really know defensive players.
Is it a different vibe in there? I mean, winning cures a lot, but it's just I think it also has to go with when you have a good locker room and you have guys – kind of like yourselves that are very much character guys that are very much together. I think that also breeds winning. Winning, it's not a vice versa thing. It's, I think, the character of the locker room is what comes out and breeds on the field, correct?
Oh, it definitely does. I feel like that shows what kind of team you have, what kind of locker room you have. Just that locker room, it pays off on the field. The togetherness, everything that happens on the field is starts in that locker room. Without our leaders getting us ready every day and from the floor, we're not ready. We wouldn't be ready without them. So
I know that a lot of guys say, well, we don't pay attention. It's just another game. Aaron Rodgers alluded to the fact that this is kind of a big game. I mean, they haven't won a whole lot out there in San Francisco. It's been kind of a nemesis. You guys, obviously, for seeding standings, need this one. You don't want to go 3 down to this team. So do you get the feel that coming back from the bye that a lot of guys are anxious, not anxious just to play, but just anxious because this is a big game, flex to Sunday night so the rest of the world can see you guys? You feeling it?
Oh, definitely. I'm feeling it. I mean, pound time. It doesn't get any bigger than that. You're going to be the only game on Sunday night. Like you said, we got flex, and we do want that everything to run through here, through the playoffs. We want everybody to have to come through here, and we feel like this is a tough place to play. So we know this game means a lot in terms of seeding. So we got to go out there and play our game.
There's a lot of people that say Lambeau's louder this year. Last year wasn't a great season, but that Lambeau is louder this year. Do you notice a difference?
Oh, I do. It's a lot of energy. A lot of energy.
Yeah.
It gets the players going as well.
That's the one thing we always talk about is people say, well, home field advantage, it's just loud for the offense and such. But it really does. There's a specific energy to it, and an adrenaline rush, I guess, is what you could call it, right?
Oh, yeah. You get adrenaline rush. I mean, at the end of the game, you have guys standing on the benches, like, interacting with the crowd, trying to get them up, and just different things. And we felt the energy from the crowd, and it's just – it makes us want to do that much more.
When you, I think the, was it the week after the Bears game when you were on the program?
I think it was.
I think it was right after that because we talked about coming out of the tunnel down in Chicago. So the fact that the crowds have become more energized, obviously the record has a lot to do with that. But now that you're feeling comfortable, you guys are kind of feeling really good at home. What's it been like for you and what's it been like for the offense? Because you guys started off slow in Chicago and each week you were scoring more and more points and seemed to get back on track. You obviously had the bump out in L.A., but what's it been like for the offense now?
Just fine-tuning things, just trying to make sure we stay consistent. We stay consistent. We feel like we're a really good team. The things that take us off the field on third down is things we've done to ourselves, jump off sides, delay of games. So we feel like it's nothing any team has really done to us. We feel like it's more what we've done to ourselves.
How has it been since Devontae came back? He was out for a while, and you guys were forced to spread the ball around. Aaron was. And obviously you became a big part of that huge game down in Kansas City. And then Devontae came back, and everybody said, well, the offense not going to be the same because Devontae's back, and they're forcing it to him. Is this just a learning process to try to get one of your high-profile guys back into the lineup, so to speak? Or is that game plan, or how is that?
I feel like it was good. I mean, last game he got targeted. Yeah. The ball was being spread.
10 targets. Yeah.
The ball was being spread around. Me and Jamal both had 13 carries. I think who else? Jimmy caught the ball.
Jimmy had a 40-yard catch.
So you saw a little bit of everybody getting involved, and I feel like he's a playmaker, so you have to get the ball in his hands, and he makes it easier for everybody else. He takes pressure off of everybody else.
I know that when you and I talked at the beginning of the season, you talked about catching the ball out of the backfield. Man, you've had a couple of big catches out of the backfield. You feeling a lot more comfortable now?
Yes, sir. I mean, I've always felt comfortable out of the backfield, just getting more opportunities now and the most I've probably ever had in my
high
school, college, all of that.
Do you ever watch a slow motion video? Because we get the All-22 and we get the slow motions. Do you ever watch a slow motion video of your eyes when you catch a ball and there's nobody in front of you? You look like a kid on Christmas, man. Your eyes get real big.
I definitely want to see this.
Are you one of those guys that when you get the ball and you're running, you're looking up into the end zone to see if anybody's behind you? Or do you just
I just keep running.
Okay.
I was told yeah, I was told you can look up at the scoreboard and that kind of, let that kind of be your rearview mirror, but I don't trust it. I don't trust
it. It's not like they're ghosting people especially into the game for
especially you. Especially if we're playing away.
Yeah. Okay.
Nah. If we're playing home, then I'll trust it. I trust the camera.
You can always trust your ears, too, because you can hear somebody behind you.
True.
You can hear the breath in your ear, you know?
Usually if you hear them, that's not a good thing. That means you're not running away from them.
How's it been with you and Jamal? Because we talk about splitting carries and what you two both offer. You're more of the scat back, the quicker guy, the guy that can get outside, burst through a hole. Jamal can be a bruiser. He's a north-south runner. How have you guys complemented one another?
It's just been no letdown when one of us comes off the field. A high-level employee, we challenge each other every time. And so Jamal can do things I can do, and he can do certain things different and better, and I have the same thing. And so defenses can't just adapt to one person. Right. I mean, you have sometimes you have us in the game together at the same time, so it's kind of hard to game plan that.
How's it been working with Danny Vitale, too?
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Actually, me, Danny, and Jamal have the same agent, so.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so you all just screaming money back there or something, or what?
Need to get some to the running backs. No.
Danny's an exciting cat out of the backfield. There's been a couple of times where they've thrown him the ball, and nobody even thought he was going to catch a pass, and he's been so wide open it isn't funny.
Oh, yeah. Danny has great hands, though.
Yeah.
He's fast. A lot of people don't know that. Like,
deceptively fast.
He's a super back. He can do it all. He can. If you was to put him in the backfield and hand him off the ball, he would be good with the ball in his hands. Just he can do it. He can do it all.
Yeah, he seems like an energy guy too.
Oh, he brings a lot of energy.
Yeah,
a lot of energy.
Who's the biggest cheerleader on the sideline when you guys are out there?
Manny Wilkins.
Really?
Manny Wilkins.
Manny seemed like it, but Manny was on with you last time we were here.
Yes, sir.
That was a great time too, by the way. Why didn't you bring Manny back? Because Manny was fantastic.
I don't know.
Manny should come over with you next time. That,
I'll
he
bring
was
him next
he
time.
Was awesome. He was, I let him do the show. That was so much fun. So Manny's your guy, and when you talk about you know, your guys up front, the one thing that you had this season is stability. You haven't, knock on wood, had injuries. You haven't had guys really go down for long stints. Talk about the familiarity and how important it is to keep that offensive line together.
Yeah, I mean, those five guys up front, they're a unit, and you get used to playing with a certain five guys. You know what that. If you're a left tackle, you know what your left guard's going to do. You know how you guys are going to pass things off. And you're just familiar with playing with each other. When you get different linemen in every game, and just kind of messes with the chemistry. And, I mean, so you're all a one unit. You know what's going on. You know communication. You're comfortable playing with that person because you've done it 10 weeks and
right. –
OTAs and before that, so it's nothing new, and it's something you're comfortable with.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live at Lodge Kohler. It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Aaron Jones is our guest. We're going to talk a little Aaron Rodgers when we come back and talk about the Packers quarterback. Stay tuned. We got more coming up right after this.
Make your next trip to Green Bay memorable in all the best ways. Come to Lodge Kohler, where the grit of sport and industry is tempered by the grace of bold design. Where every detail is crafted for your convenience and pleasure. From the warm and welcoming nature of our lobby and cafe, to our fifth floor restaurant and lounge, Tavern in the Sky, featuring an unbeatable view of the stadium, to our signature Kohler water spa and lap pool. Whether you're on the road for business or on your way to the North Woods, we invite you to raise a glass with travelers from across the world and friends from around the corner. Book your stay today at LodgeKohler.com. Choose from the Packers home game package, overnight packages to explore the Hall of Fame, or one of our year-round overnight packages. For more information, visit LodgeKohler.com. Lodge Kohler, a hotel brought to you by Kohler Company.
Hey, honey, I think we should go on a Caribbean cruise.
And I think I'm watching the Green Bay game right now.
Come on, there will be legends on the cruise. Does that change your mind?
Would your brother invite us? Cracks me up he still calls himself a legend when he hasn't played sports since high school.
No, Green Bay legends like Leroy Butler, George Kuntz, and Blake Martinez, just to name a few.
Wow, really? Well, heck yeah, I do. What's the website? I'll check it out.
It's greenbaylegendscruise.com. Just think, this could be the new family we vacation with every year.
Hey, this is Mason Crosby, kicker for the Green and Gold. I've teamed up with Sartori Bellavitano Cheese to support a favorite charity of mine, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. For every field goal I make this season, Sartori Cheese will donate $1,000 to Make-A-Wish to help make a difference in lives of children who are suffering. I'm proud to be associated with Sartori, a Wisconsin family-owned company that values its community and makes some of the world's best and award-winning artisan cheese.
Hi, this is Wayne Larrivee, voice of the Green Bay Packers. Hupian Abraham and the Green and Gold, both winning teams with a long history of success. If you've been involved in an accident, choose the team with a winning record, the team that has collected over $1 billion for their clients, the team I would call Hupian Abraham. Year after year, Hupian Abraham is voted best, rated best. Call 1-800-800-5678. That's 1-800-800-5678. Or on the web at hupie.com. Hupian Abraham, pick the winning team.
Welcome back to the program, the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. We are in Green Bay, just across the street from historic Lambeau Field, and we're sitting here with Aaron Jones. The Green Bay Legends crews, by the way, they've got a great roster again this year with guys like Blake Martinez, George Kuntz, Leroy Butler, Doug Evans, Mark Tauscher, and a whole lot more. If you want to check it out, go to greenbaylegendscruise.com. That is greenbaylegendscruise.com. We're also brought to you by our friends at Hupie and Abraham, Under Warmer, Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management. Joining us also up here at the table, our good buddy Mike Clemens from NFL Serious Radio. How you doing, pal?
I'm good, Bill.
Yep, let me get you turned up just a little bit there. There you go.
All right. Are we all okay there?
We're good.
Very good.
You know,
yeah,
doing all right?
Very good. Earlier this week, they had an interview with the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, and they've got a great defense. This guy named Robert Saleh, who was an assistant coach at Central Michigan, not a very big school. He played football in Michigan, and he met a guy, a coworker, an assistant named Matt LaFleur. And both these guys were just grinding. Now, Robert got a job with Gary Kubiak and that former Bronco group when he was the head coach of the Texans. And when they had an opening, he said, I know just the guy. And that's how Matt LaFleur got his foot in the door in the NFL. So now Robert today is the defensive coordinator that these guys have got to face on Sunday night. And when he was asked by the San Francisco media, like, you know, these Packers, I mean, they've got this better running game now, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers, does he still throw a lot? He goes, well, they have these run-pass options and all that. He says, but who's this running back they've got? Where do they get this guy from? I mean, they keep this. He's in his third year, and it's an interesting story how Aaron comes from Burgess High School, and then he goes to UTEP. It's the minors, is it?
Yes, sir.
You know, and did you have a game where you rushed for 300 yards your senior year down there?
Yes, sir, my last game.
Four touchdowns. You know, and the thing about UTEP is El Paso is actually bigger than Milwaukee now. I mean, it's exploded in the time that you
A lot of people
there.
Don't know that.
It's ranked 22nd. Milwaukee's like 31st. So give credit to the Green Bay scouting department to find this guy and get him in the backfield. And look where he is now, 3 years later. They're talking MVP for this guy.
Thank you.
Inside your locker room, what do guys say when they see you do your thing? And, I mean, obviously Jamal is a big part of that, and so is Danny, and you can go down the tree. But when you've started to open up eyes, what do guys say?
They just told me that I was, like, legit, or now some of them call me MVP. Just things like that, or encouraging things like, hey, keep going. You're just getting started, or keep doing this, you'll get paid, or things like that. So a lot of encouragement.
It's funny because we were bringing the kids up today, and they were Googling, how much money does Aaron Jones make, just to see? And I said, a lot is coming. Just wait. A guy inside your locker room, a veteran, Tremont Williams, had him on earlier today. I asked him, I said, what do you think of Aaron Jones? Here's what he had to say.
First and foremost, great guy in general. Forget running back. Just a great guy. But running back-wise, I mean, you can look at Aaron, and most guys look at him, he's not the biggest guy. And for him to have the impact that he has on the field is absolutely amazing. For what he can do, I mean, his skill set is amazing. He can catch out the backfield.
There it is.
He blocks well. I mean, I can remember times when Coach came in the meeting room and we didn't even put up a film that shows him running the ball, but we put up, you know, clippings that show him pass blocking, him stoning guys coming through, just keeping guys off of Aaron. So the guy can do everything. He's a complete running back, even at the size that he is.
You and I talked at the beginning of the season. I said, what would you rather do, you know, run the ball, catch the ball? or what are you going to kick out of? And one thing you smiled and said, blocking. And you've gotten rather good at it. Is that something that was a conscious effort? Because the number one thing in Green Bay is don't let the quarterback get hit. You want to run the football, but how hard was it to adapt to really serious pass blocking and picking up blitzes and such?
It wasn't much so hard because I say it's a mentality thing. You either want to or you don't. At that point, then it becomes understanding the protection and technique after that. So if you have the want to, then half the battle is done. Now you just got to understand protection and use your technique. And so I took a lot of pride in it, though. My rookie year, that's all I was hearing in the media. I couldn't pass protect or and stuff like that. So I just took it upon myself to work on that and improve. And like I said, I wanted to become the best running back in the game. And the best running backs in the game are great at every asset of the game. So I just knew I had to improve on that and continue to work.
You know what I think is – what I think you tell me is unique about your game is this. I covered Amon Green, strong man, extreme fast, this great burst if he got outside. Ryan Grant really could see the field, you know, a savvy, smart, you know, used his steps like Sean Alexander used to, you know, watch his steps. And when I think of Aaron Jones, I see, you know, natural runner, avoid tacklers. But I remember – talking to you after your first touchdown in your rookie year in preseason, and I think you were down by the goal line. And so, you know, you take the ball and you find your way in. And I say, so tell me what happened to the play. And you say, well, this linebacker moved over here, and this guy stepped over here. So I knew that the hole would probably be open here. I mean, you see things almost like a coach. I mean, the X's and O's, more than I typically hear from running backs who say they're just kind of following what the play call is and the flow of the game and those kinds of things. I mean, is that part of your secret, is the fact is that you're thinking about these plays like a quarterback?
I think it is. And I like to thank Coach Cougs, my college coach, and my running back coach, Coach Jackson. I think that's kind of something they just showed me. If you understand how a play is being blocked up, where the double team is working to, what backer they're going to, you'll have a better understanding of the play. You'll know
pre-snap anticipation.
Yeah. You kind of will get a pre-snap of where the ball is going to hit at or where it's going to go, and if it's blocked up the right way or if the defense doesn't make a play, then it's going to usually hit that way. Unless a D lineman comes off, makes a good play, or a linebacker, then it's going to go off course.
How much of that is studying behind Aaron Rodgers, a guy that can walk to the line of scrimmage and pretty much see what is about to happen? And he knows it and almost expects everybody around him to know it. So it's not like you can just walk in and go through the motions. You have to be on the same page.
Oh, yeah, you have to be on the same page. And he expects you to know everything because he knows – well, he expects you to know your job, just your responsibility, because he has so much that he has to do and so much he knows. He knows what everybody's doing on the field. And then he has to call the protection and see where the blitz is coming from. So he just expects you to know your job and be planning it to the best of your ability.
When we were talking this past year at Super Bowl, you were talking about that. And one of the things interesting that you said is you try to do what he's doing rather than you got to worry about your job and listen for your call. But you're also trying to figure out what the call is going to be. And do you still do that, or is it now natural?
No, it's gotten more natural now. Like if I just depend on how the D linemen are lined up, I can kind of tell where the offensive line is going to slide in pass protection. But yeah, you kind of had to evolve to that because it's not as much communication as the previous offense when it comes to pass protection.
You guys faced early on this season some of the best defenses in the league. You've now, once you get through San Francisco, you will have faced 7 of the top 10 defenses and still stand tall with a record of either 9-2 or 8-3, one of the two. But you can't let up. But do you feel like you've accomplished something by beating these defenses and being capable of running on defenses, throwing on defenses, putting up points against some of these defenses? I mean, the only one obviously that didn't was the Chargers. Chargers still have a very good defense offensively, and they're not nearly statistically as good. But you will have faced 7 of the top 10.
I think we've just shown that we're a really good offense. We have a lot of weapons, and we have the right guys in our locker room to do it.
Do you hear stuff outside? I mean, I know people talk about white noise. You know, when Devontae was down, people were saying, you got to get a number 2 wide receiver, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. Do you guys hear that stuff?
I mean, you hear a little bit of it, but you don't really read into it. But you do hear a little bit of what people are saying.
Do you like the way the offense is with the ball being spread out to? I mean, everybody wants the ball, but the fact that it's going to everybody.
Well, definitely. I mean, you got to get the ball in your playmaker's hands. You want as many explosive plays as you can get, and of course, you can't keep giving it to the same playmaker because he's going to get tired. So you spread it out, and then you come back, and then you keep spreading it out, and everybody stays fresh that way, and everybody's making plays.
When you talk about being used that way, I find it interesting. Under Mike McCarthy, right or wrong, he would run Jamal a series and run you a series. It seems like you guys are just whatever the call is, you're in and out. It's, you know, when you feel good and you're not gassed, out you go, you know, and then you'll give Jamal a spell. It's not predicated upon a series. It's predicated upon personnel packages and moments in time.
Yes, and just when Coach told us to go in, so.
It's that easy.
Yeah, it's that easy. We just listen to our running back coach.
So he just has a different style of calling plays in, is what you're saying.
Ooh, LaFleur.
LaFleur, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he does. He has a different offense as well, so
yeah.
You got to take that into account. But whenever Coach Sermon's like, hey, Jamal, you're in, okay, Jamal's in, or Aaron, you're in, okay, I'm in, and we're standing next to him, and usually it is off of certain plays that he feels like it's our strength, he'll put us in on, but most of the time it's just whenever.
Yesterday at practice, Aaron was going for a little pass out, and the head coach, he's known for this. I've been talking about this past spring. I mean, this Matt LaFleur is not afraid to go up to a 10-year veteran like Jimmy Graham and say, no, Jimmy, I need you to cut this way along the back of the end zone. And, you know, there's from head to toe, these players, there's a certain way you turn. There's where you put your eyes. It's where here's what you put your hands. And he had you making a little adjustment just, you know, coming out of the backfield in one of the early trips. I mean, that's a little different, isn't it, for a head coach to be detailed?
I mean, he goes out there and shows you how he wants it done. He runs it himself, so I feel like that's the best.
Does he get open?
He does. I feel like that's the best teaching and learning tool. Somebody sitting there showing you, the person who wants it done, showing you the way they want it done. And then that makes it easy for everybody else. Then they know what they got to do and how it's expected to be done.
Well, and when you learn that technique, and then you go back in the film room and see it, you know, on the big picture, it's like pieces of a puzzle coming together, right?
Oh, it definitely is. It's like, okay, now we see why Coach wanted us to do it that way.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Or even when he does that, he'll explain why, and maybe like later on after practice, he'll go back to that same clip and he'll explain why he wants it done that way. Yeah. So I think he does a good job of communicating. When he changes something or he sees something, he's letting us know why. He's not just, you need to do this. He's letting us know why and what he sees and how the defense plays it.
Talking with Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers. I wanted to ask you before we go to break, one of the big things was catching passes from Aaron Rodgers is all about trust. This year, the utilization of the running back has been far more than we have seen in the past. How long, or was there a moment in which Aaron threw you the ball or did something and he looked at you and went, okay, we're on the same page. I got this.
It's never like just we've been on this, like,
yeah.
I mean, he's audible stuff, or like he'll tell me in the back, he'll be just look for the ball. Like, he'll tell me that, just be on the lookout. He'll tell me that sometimes, like in the huddle, but that's about it.
Okay. Do you ever walk back and go, I got this? Go ahead and get me the ball. Save with a 47 or 57 yard touchdown run you had in Kansas City.
Oh, no. Actually, Coach LaFleur came up to me the series before. Me and Jamal, we were both sitting next to each other. He was like, hey, I'm thinking about running this play. If I call it, are y'all ready? And we didn't know which one of us were going to be in the game. He's talking to both of us. We're like, yes, sir. And that series, he doesn't call it, but the following series, he calls it.
So, yeah.
And I ran off the field. I'm like, hey, Coach, I told you I was ready.
I'll tell you who wasn't ready. It was the linebacker Hitchens. He wasn't ready for that play.
No, he wasn't. No. He's still looking for body parts and jock straps out there on the field, without a doubt. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live at Lodge Kohler. We're here in Green Bay across the street from historic Lambeau Field. More of the Lodge Kohler Kickoff with Aaron Jones and Mike Clemens right after this. Good evening. evening and welcome back. We are broadcasting live. The Lodge Kohler kickoff. We're at Lodge Kohler here in Green Bay, just across the street from historic Lambeau Field. By the way, if you want to follow us, you can on all the social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook at Lodge Kohler Kickoff. Instagram is the same. And on Twitter, it is Kohler Kickoff. You can follow me at Bill_Michaels. Follow Mike Clemens at, what is it, Mike?
Mike Clemens NFL.
Mike Clemens NFL.
Thanks for asking.
There you go. Wanted to make sure. And then our guest, Aaron Jones, where they find you?
Showtime_33.
There you go. Just wanted to make sure.
T-Y-M-E.
T-Y-M-E. All right. I wanted to make sure you spelled it correctly, too. So there you go. That is Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers. So we're sitting here, you know, during the bye week, everybody gets a chance to kind of get out, rejuvenate a little bit. There were some guys that stuck around. I mean, do you ever feel like, you know, they say go ahead and do what you got to do, and they give you the speech, don't do anything stupid, don't get in any trouble, go back. But do you ever feel like, maybe I should stick around? Maybe there's something I should work on? Or are you so excited or ready to just relax and do nothing for a short period of time?
I can work on whatever I need to work on, wherever I'm at. So
okay,
I'm ready to go get some warm weather.
Yeah, get that. Hey, how's your brother doing, by the way?
Oh, he's doing good.
Yeah?
Yes, sir, he's doing good.
Is he enjoying it?
Yes, sir, he is.
Yeah, okay.
He's doing really good.
Yeah, for brother plays football, too. A little bit of football, doesn't he?
He plays a little bit of football.
You want to talk him up a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I have a twin brother. Played together in college. He's currently with the Baltimore Ravens in second year, so blessed to have a twin brother in the league as well.
Now, the Ravens are playing some good ball. They knock off the Patriots. Same record as the Packers. Do you talk that, hey, mom and dad might have to split jerseys or something if you guys should meet in Miami?
Nah, we haven't talked. Just taking one game at a time.
Because I remember we were hanging out with you guys at Super Bowl last year. I don't know if we'd be able to do that again this year. And we don't want to start no fight or anything like that, you know. Do you get a chance to watch, like, go back and watch any of his stuff?
Of course. I mean, I watch as much as I can. We get some of their stuff on our iPads as well, so, or from other teams they played. So
right,
try to watch them through there.
So linebacker is what he plays.
Yes, sir. Okay, he plays linebacker. Sorry, didn't mention that.
Open field. You've got a juke move.
Oh,
who's catching
me.
Who?
It's me. It's me. He in a hole, he probably have a better chance. I'd say I'd give him a 60-40. He probably wins 60% of the time on that.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Open field, it's 100% me.
Was it like you guys running around the front yard, you juking them all over the place, him trying to catch you and drag you down as kids?
A little bit. Yeah. We play more basketball in the front yard.
Okay.
All right, I want to share something that Aaron talked about his locker yesterday. You got together with some family over the bike?
Yes.
Sister? How did you get onto a discussion about, is ice cream really frozen?
I don't know. I don't even know how my sister came up with that, but she asked us. We were all sitting at the table and she asked us that.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at her like, of course. Like, what kind of question is that?
Is ice cream frozen? And now, then, you argued maybe it's really not if you think about it.
I don't think it's frozen. No, like, my sister had a point. I had to apologize to it. I was looking at her like she was crazy. Like,
right.
What do you mean? But if you think about it, ice cream is never really solid. Ice cream melts. Cheese melts, which is not frozen. Butter melts, which is not frozen.
Butter melts.
And it changes form. If you was to melt ice cream like that,
you
it would change form.
You also pointed out that deodorant melts.
Deodorant melts.
I don't know how that follows in line. But,
but like, it's not, like I'm saying, it changes form. It melts. Like, it doesn't
That's
have
true.
To be frozen to melt.
See, this is
what I was trying to say.
Jones family's talking about.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is deep stuff.
And then, what do you consider frozen? Like, something solid.
Something solid.
So if you try
ice cubes, frozen.
If you try to put a spoon through an ice cube, can you do that?
Ain't gonna happen.
It's gonna break.
Pond frozen, ice fishing you're drilling through frozen.
But ice
cream. You don't go out walking around and sit on a big thing.
You could always stick a spoon through some ice cream.
I gotta tell you, like an earworm, you know, a song gets your head. I've been thinking about this question for 24 hours now. It's in my head. People will be talking about this next week at Thanksgiving.
I keep picturing a shot of you standing there with the door open at Pick and Save, just looking into all the different ice creams, you know.
I'm looking for the frozen section.
Pondering things.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was fun, though.
Yeah. Speaking of frozen, you guys had a snowball fight, too, up here not too long ago, which made a little news.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. I mean,
guys just throwing snowballs, just having to run and duck and try to find some snow.
Was Coach out there like your dad going, don't put an eye out, don't hurt anybody?
No, he was letting us have fun.
Yeah?
He was letting us have fun.
Because you guys were winding up and wailing a few, weren't you?
Some people got hit. JK hit Montrevious right, like, he made him eat the snow.
Oh!
It was the best thing ever.
J.K. Scott, the punter.
J.K. Scott,
he's got an arm. He's got a gun.
Across the parking lot at that.
Across the parking lot, and it lands in 300-pound Montrevious Adams' mouth. Right, like, in the grill.
Right. Snowball. We're running away from him, and he turns this, like, try to say something to J.K. and just...
Bam!
Like, drills him right in his mouth.
That's classic.
Team building. You guys don't even know to go anywhere to get team building stuff.
Definitely. We've just been having a lot of fun.
And by the way, that snowball, frozen.
Frozen.
The game upcoming, we were talking a little bit about how big this game is. You know, as you guys close in on Sunday night, the last time you went out west, you left on a Friday. There was a lot of talk about when you should and shouldn't leave. You guys are leaving tomorrow, not tonight. So did it make that a big of a difference, do you think, leaving on a Friday and getting in late and guys trying to catch up? It certainly seemed to, at least in his mind, make a difference to Coach LaFleur.
I can't speak for everybody else. I can speak for myself. It didn't affect me in any way. We can leave whatever day you want to. I'd be ready to play and ready to suit up. So,
yeah. It was just a game in which you guys came out flat.
Oh, it definitely came out flat. Didn't have a lot of energy and stayed that way throughout the game. And it was kind of some self-inflicted stuff.
Yeah. You know?
Like, it was on the side of offense.
That's kind of like running in quicksand. When you realize you're flat and you're trying to force something, and then it seems like the harder you guys work at it, the worse it gets. And then you start to think, okay, it's just one of those days.
Yeah, it's just a tough day. You just got to continue to grind through it, though. You can't just quit and hang up the cleats. That's not what it's about. Yeah. You got to keep working through it because every day is not going to be your best day. You're going to have off days, and that was our off day, and we gotten better from that.
So. Yeah. Is that when you guys went back and looked at the film, was that – because I know Aaron said, let's just rinse it. Let's just get rid of it. Did you guys go back and look at that film and then just say we're done, or
– We went back. We looked at it, talked about it, and then chalked it up. Like, we know we got to do better than this. This is not us. And then got it out the window and moved on.
Okay. Well, obviously, you guys have won some ball games since then. It's been just an interesting season because where you think you might trip up, you haven't, and you guys have excelled. And in a game like that, you come out a little bit flat. And you know what? It's funny because we had Lane Taylor on last year. And Lane said, look, you come out, you have a great warm-up, and you think we're ready. And then game time comes, and you can't figure it out. You can't get out of your own way. It's just sometimes you can't explain it.
That's how it is sometimes. I mean, and it's the NFL. Those guys get paid, too. Those guys are professionals. Those guys, they have all pros and pro bowlers on their team as well. And so,
what's it like playing in that stadium? Because that's not only a small stadium, but it was packed. It was – pardon the pun, but it was about 70% Packers fans.
It was pretty cool. I mean, I'm used to playing in smaller stadiums. Played in front of, like, average, like, 20,000 in college. So, stadium didn't affect me. I could play in front of one person. It wouldn't affect me. So, well, two people. My parents.
Right. Say there. I'm good.
But it was 70% Packer fans, and I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime we go to California, the Packer fans are always
there. Well, they're expecting a big crowd, a contingent of Packers fans out there in San Francisco at Levi Stadium.
I'm excited to see them.
Have you ever played Levi Stadium before?
I know, sir.
Mike, you've been down there a couple of times. We were out there for Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, we were out there for Super Bowl 50. I think what's interesting, though, is we talked to one of our guys in San Francisco. Said what's interesting is that at Levi, if this was an afternoon game, the 49ers fans may come. The start of the game might be a third empty because it's still so hot out there.
Mm-hmm.
But he said because it's a night game, everybody will be in their seats, you know, when you start about 5:25 or so. So it'll be packed, you know, right from the start.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Final segment is coming up. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay across the street from Lambeau Field. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. Again, you can find us on Facebook at Lodge Kohler Kickoff. Same on Instagram, Kohler Kickoff on Twitter. We've got one final segment with Aaron Jones coming up next.
Make your next trip to Green Bay memorable in all the best ways. Come to Lodge Kohler, where the grit of sport and industry is tempered by the grace of bold design, where every detail is crafted for your convenience and pleasure. From the warm and welcoming nature of our lobby and cafe to our fifth floor restaurant and lounge, Tavern in the Sky, featuring an unbeatable view of the stadium, to our signature Kohler water spa and lap pool. Whether you're on the road for business or on your way to the North Woods, we invite you to raise a glass with travelers from across the world and friends from around the corner. Book your stay today at lodgekohler.com. Choose from the Packers home game package, overnight packages to explore the Hall of Fame, or one of our year-round overnight packages. For more information, visit LodgeKohler.com. Lodge Kohler, a hotel brought to you by Kohler Company.
Lammy Sports should be your first call for Green Bay player appearances and commercials. They exclusively rep Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, James Jones, and many more. Lammy Sports Talent is perfect for your grand opening, big anniversary sale, your next company meeting, or that new product launch. Anytime you want to stand out, reach out to Lammy Sports. Call 414-727-3600 or visit LammySports.com. It's easy to hire a Packer, Brewer, or Buck with Lammy.
Hey, this is Mason Crosby, kicker for the Green and Gold. I have teamed up with Sartori Bella Vitano Cheese to support a favorite charity of mine, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. For every field goal I make this season, Sartori Cheese will donate $1,000 to Make-A-Wish to help make a difference in lives of children who are suffering. I'm proud to be associated with Sartori, a Wisconsin family-owned company that values its community and makes some of the world's best and award-winning artisan cheese.
Hi, this is Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Green Bay Packers. Hupie and Abraham and the Green and Gold, both winning teams with a long history of success. If you've been involved in an accident, choose the team with a winning record, the team that has collected over $1 billion for their clients, the team I would call Hupie and Abraham. Year after year, Hupie and Abraham is voted best, rated best. Call 1-800-800-5678. That's 1-800-800-5678. Or on the web at hupie.com. Hupie and Abraham, pick the winning team.
It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Welcome back to the program. We are brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, also Under Warmer, the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, and Green Bay Legends Cruise as well. And the hot play of the game brought to you by Under Warmer, a single-use heat-based layer compression shirt. 8 large air-activated heat packs are built right into the shirt, staying warm up to 12 hours for $15. Under Warmer, it's a game-changer, available at Gasser Hardware and Shields and the Green Bay Jersey Store as well. And the Green Bay Packers getting ready to take on the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. It's the first of 2 straight road games for the Packers, marking the second straight year that they played on the road in the first couple of games after the bye week. It's going to be the second regular season game for the Packers at Levi's Stadium. And dating back to 96, the Packers 11-2 against San Francisco during the regular season. And since 2007, the Packers have won the game going into a bye and coming out of a bye 5 times, 2016, 12, 11, 10, and 7. Aaron Jones, our guest, alongside Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Network as well. So going into this contest, you guys, we talked about health. We talked about their defense. Talk about your offense. You know, when you see a defense that comes at you with the numbers that they have, with the turnovers they've garnered, with the number 1 in the NFC, number 2 in the NFL, do you feel like you come into this game with something to prove or a chip on your shoulder? Does it give you a little extra added incentive to come out and kind of show the world that you're not just kind of rolling through some softer teams? Oops, sorry about that. There we go.
No, sir. We just know we got to come out and be ourselves. We can't listen to what anybody else is saying or get caught up in the hype or anything. We just got to come out and play our game the way we've been playing and stick to ourselves, our identity, and play well.
So, Aaron, their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, really smart guy. Now, his dad was Mike Shanahan. He was the coach of the Broncos when John Elway finally got his 2 Super Bowl rings, beat the Packers in Super Bowl 32, came up with a run game, you know, that people are still talking about 20, 25 years later. Kyle grows up in the NFL. I mean, he was a ball boy for Joe Montana and Steve Young when his dad worked for the 49ers. He was carrying the cord for his dad's headphones at that Super Bowl 32. He was a coordinator for several years before he got his head coaching job. And he says, you know what? I'm really jealous about my buddy Matt LaFleur, because Matt LaFleur is 8-2. He says, I was 0-9 before we won our first game as a head coach. You've had this dramatic turnaround in Green Bay from last year's losing season to 8-2 and people talking about you. What do you think are the top 2 or 3 things that have brought this team together?
I say brotherhood. We all have one common goal, and the football. the football brings everybody together.
Yeah. It means there just seems to be a better focus or something. Because, you know, it's like Aaron Rodgers said, I don't have to have a number two receiver. We'll find a different way to get this done every week. Everyone's got to understand that whatever it takes for team, don't worry about your individual job or your performances. If we keep getting W's, you'll be here next week.
Oh, definitely. That's why I said we all have one common goal, no matter how the job gets done, no matter who's doing it. As long as there's a W on a win column, that's all that matters. Stats are thrown out the window. We don't have players with egos or any of that in the locker room. We all just want to win.
With the team right now at 8-2, and you know the importance playoff-wise and seeding-wise for this game, but do you look down that road, or are there a lot of guys in that locker room that say, no, we can't stack that we're in the postseason stuff yet because we're really not there?
We know we're not in the postseason. We know our record as well, though, and we know that this game has a lot of implications. And we always say we want the playoffs to go through here. This is a tough place to play. It's home field advantage, and that weather is definitely an advantage. So.
Will this feel like a playoff game, do you feel, coming Sunday night? It certainly seems like the buildup to it is.
I mean, I don't know. I've never been to the playoffs.
That's one hell of an answer right there. but I, like you said, this is prime time. They flex this game. They want this game because of the matchup. It certainly seems the outside world looking in feel that this is whoever wins this game is now the inside track to winning a Super Bowl. Do you know that two teams that between them have had four or less losses that have met after week 10, the winning team has gone on to win the Super Bowl eight times out of 10?
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
Just thought I'd throw that out there for you.
Interesting stat. Yeah.
Well, and listen, you know, the real math is this. You know, win or lose for Green Bay on Sunday night, there's still a, you know, great opportunity for them to do this. But the thing that I'm excited about is to see a veteran like Jimmy Graham, who's been kind of a quiet guy, but he's now talking to us more. He wants this, man, because you know what? Jimmy Graham got to the Saints after they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Graham got to the Seahawks after they had won the Super Bowl. And now he's back on an 8-2 team with guys like this in the backfield and Aaron Rodgers and a new scheme with a guy from LaFleur. Jimmy Graham's he's using the word special. And I think that's just it. You know, it's week to week, but right now this team feels like, oh, man, we're getting so close, right? Is that the feeling?
Oh, it definitely is. We still feel like we haven't put together a full game for every phase, offense, defense, and special teams is one.
But it feels like it's getting better every week.
It definitely is, but we just still haven't put together a complete game, and when we do, it's going to be scary. Yeah.
What's the closest to a really good performance that you guys have put together? You could look at and go, okay, that was a really good game for us. It wasn't perfect, but that was one where we can say, if we can do this every week and get a little bit better, we're going to be really good.
As an offense, I feel like Oakland, in the second half, we only stalled one drive, which is big time. You go down there pretty much every time and put the ball in the end zone. Our defense is flying around as well and making a lot of plays. So I would say from an offensive standpoint, that game.
Okay. How do you guys feel like when you went into the performances in Dallas, in Kansas City? Because we circled a lot of games at the beginning of the year. We said, okay, there's some proving grounds here. Dallas and Kansas City, obviously U.S. Bank Stadium against the Vikings. We didn't expect this game to be the big one. But as you start to check some of those boxes, you kind of think to yourself, okay, we are what we thought we were, right?
Yes, sir. And none of us in the locker room are surprised. We were right where we thought we were going to be at. We had high expectations for ourselves, and we've worked really hard this offseason, and it's paying off.
Yeah, if you go back to that Philadelphia game, that's the one. L.A., you know what? You didn't come out. You didn't have it, okay? But that Philadelphia game you had here, that was – you talk about self-inflicted. You guys had three or four opportunities, and just if one of those plays go right, you guys end up winning that game as well.
Definitely do, and –
yeah.
Looking at one loss, but
yeah.
That's in the past, but we can't change that, and just ready for this week.
Well, the other thing is I'm just thinking about this 49ers team you're facing and a big personality over like Richard Sherman. I mean, you talk about noise, you got to block. He's such a good football player, but he's one of those intimidating guys like, oh, man, that's Richard Sherman over there, right?
Nah. I mean, my boy Jamal stiff-armed him last year, so.
That's right. What did you learn?
I don't get intimidated by anybody on the football field. I've been playing my whole life. So
yeah, that was a close game.
They talk back.
They played you hard, you know. And Aaron said this spring he remembers watching that, you know, backup quarterback C.J. Beathard over there running that offense and saying, "Man, that looks fun," you know. And so lo and behold, here you're running those kinds of plays. Are there many things that you guys can think of in that matchup last year, holding on to beat the 49ers at Lambeau, that can apply to Sunday night's game?
I don't even remember that game, honestly.
Really? So, I mean, the focus has got to be what these guys have done in 2019 when it comes to the film and the
preparation. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, definitely. I mean, you look back at those games as well, but more so this year, and what they've been doing, they're gone based off of their personnel. They have guys down, so they kind of change up a little bit, and so they get up, they get after it though. They have a lot of speed on defense. They have a lot of first rounders on their D line. I think with four or five first rounders on the D line.
Yeah, they do.
So they're tall and long, and like I said, everybody plays with high energy and a high motor. So just gotta be ready to play at all times and never take a playoff.
Aaron, best of luck to you, buddy.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, pal. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Jones joining us up here at the table. We are brought to you by Lodge Kohler, Hubie and Abraham Under Warmer, Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Green Bay Legends, Cruz and Lamy Sports. Time for us to go. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Have a great night.
Sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.